Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Well, this is the third week of our series, Is There Baseball in Heaven? And as much as I do want to change the title after watching the Phils get swept by the Orioles this week, we're going to keep it the same title. And that's because, and you've probably caught on to this by now, this is a lot more about heaven than it is about baseball. And so when we began this series a couple weeks ago, we talked about how we all have an ache, a longing for nothing less than infinite happiness. And that desire has been placed in our heart by God. The book of Ecclesiastes puts it this way. It says this, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. God has set this desire for infinite happiness in our heart. But here's the mistake we make. We have this desire for infinite happiness, and we keep looking at very finite things and thinking that finite things will fill that infinite need for happiness. You know, we start to think that we will find infinite happiness on this earth, but we will not. We can only find infinite happiness in heaven. Here's what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, if we find in ourselves a desire which nothing on this earth can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. We've been made for infinite happiness, but we will not experience it on this earth. We will experience it in heaven, another world. So through the course of this series, we are trying to pay attention to that ache, that longing we have, and get a clearer picture of heaven, and then begin to live in light of heaven, in light of eternity. And last week, we talked about a very important attitude of our mind and our heart that is necessary if we're going to get a clear picture of heaven, if even in fact we're going to enter into heaven. And Jesus said this. He said, we need to be childlike. So last week, we explored a bit what it meant to be childlike. We said that means to think concretely, that kids think very concretely. And even Aristotle said the soul never thinks without a picture. Heaven is a concrete, real place. We talked about we need to think imaginatively because heaven is another world. And just as children, they imagine new worlds and new scenarios, we too need to use our imagination to truly get a firm grasp of heaven. We said how we need to embrace energy and enthusiasm. Young children live with constant activity and they have energy and boundless enthusiasm for life. And in heaven, we will not just sit around and be bored or sleep all the time. No, we will be active. We will play. We will dance. We will sing. We will move. We will be active. And then last we said that we need to receive the kingdom of heaven. That just as little children, they don't try to earn things. They simply receive good things from their parents. We too must receive the kingdom of heaven from our heavenly Father. Now, here's another thing about children, if you observe them. They want the attention, the affirmation, the approval of their parents. You know, as a father of eight, I've had a chance to watch kids a lot, and it is not enough just for them to do something new. I mean, kids are constantly trying new things, you know, but when they do new things, it's not enough just to try something new. It's not enough for them to be on the swing or do a somersault or try anything else new. Though they want the approval an affirmation of their parents. They're constantly saying, look at me, look at me, look at what I can do. So as little children, we yearn, we ache for the approval and affirmation of our children, of our parents. But then as we get older, we still want that affirmation and approval, but it changes, it switches to who we're looking for that from. You know, as little kids, we're looking for it from our parents and other authority figures. Then we get into middle school age and we want affirmation and approval from our peers. I can kind of remember a time where that really hit me for the first time. I was in seventh grade, and there was a kid that moved to our school from another school, and we started hanging out together through the month of September. I'll call him Jay, because that's his name. And so, anyway, Jay moves to the school, and every day we're hanging out for a couple hours. We would play chess. We'd be hanging out at my house, and all of a sudden, we stopped hanging out. And a little bit of time went by, and I was on the same bus as Jay. And so one time, just out of nowhere, I turned to Jay and said, hey, Jay, how come we don't hang out anymore? And he said to me, well, how come you're not popular? And I thought, I don't know. I don't know why I'm not popular. If I knew why I wasn't popular, I'd fix it, but I'm not. And so, you know, at that time, I kind of learned, okay, approval and affirmation from our peers, it's a very important commodity. We need to have that. And that continues, I think, into high school and into college. I mean, I think into our adult lives. I don't think that ever goes away, that peer pressure is not just a kid thing. It's not a teenager thing. It's a human thing. But that, you know, then as we shift, we want other affirmation and approval. Maybe as we want that from a romantic interest. We want affirmation and approval as we move into work world from our boss. We want to hear his or her affirmation and approval. You know, as you continue maybe in an industry, you want to see approval or affirmation from other people in your industry in the way of awards saying, hey, you've done a good job. You know, there's other ways we get this. If you've played sports, you know that you love to hear the roar of a crowd approving of your actions on the field. If you've been in theater or dance or singing in front of people, in front of a crowd, you know, to hear the affirmation of approval of a crowd through clapping and cheering and done what I'm doing right now and spoken in front of an audience, you just like that. It's something in us. We desire it. We ache for it. We long for it our whole lives long. It's just deep in our hearts to want to be affirmed and approved. And so, you know, that's why if, you know, the smallest criticism from the wrong person, it can hurt and wound you deeply, can it? It's why, you know, even as an adult, if your parents say the wrong thing, it can still kind of sting and hurt. It's why a bad comment on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any kind of social media, I mean, you can read a criticism and it can mess up your day. We ache, we long for approval and affirmation. And Jesus knows this. And so in the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells a parable that ties into this ache, this longing. And because it's a signpost to something more, a real approval we are looking for. So we're going to look at a parable from Matthew's gospel from the 25th chapter. Now, just before we get there, a reminder that parables of Jesus are Jesus working to thin the veil between heaven and earth. That Jesus wants us to see this earth in light of heaven, in light of eternity. And we tend to disconnect the two. We tend to disconnect earth from heaven. And Jesus says, no, the two are connected, that the earth sits in the larger context of heaven. And he tells parables to help us see that connection. And so in Matthew 25, he tells three parables. This is the second of the three parables. He says, for it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, to a third 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. So this guy is going on a trip, but before he leaves, he sends in 3 servants. He says, come on in. And as each of the three servants comes in, he gives to them at least one talent. To one he gives one he gives two, and one he gives five. Now, a talent, a common worker might hope to earn one talent in his lifetime. So he gives one person two times what they had hoped to earn their entire lifetime. He gives one five times their lifetime income. I mean, this is a lot of money. He gives it to them. Then he goes away. The parable continues. It says this. He who had received the five talents went and traded with them and remade five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went out and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So the first two servants, they take the master's money. They take the talent the master has given them and they invest it for the good of the master to increase his wealth. But the other guy, he takes his talent, he hides it in the ground. He does nothing with it. Parable continues. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. After a long time, after such a long period of time, the servants might have wondered, is the master even coming back? But he did. And when the master came back, what's the first thing he does? He wants to know, what did these servants do with the talents he gave them? And so he calls them in. Now, the first one who was given five talents comes in and says, Master, you gave me five of these. You gave me five talents. See, I made five talents more. The one who was given two talents, the servant given two talents, says, Master, you gave me two talents. See, I made two talents more. Here they are. And how does the master respond to these servants? He says this, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. Over a little, he had given one guy five times what he could have possibly earned in a lifetime. He gave another guy two times what he could have possibly earned in his lifetime. And he says, this is a little. How much does this master have? He says, you have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So he gives him three rewards. And we're going to return to that in a moment. Then the other guy comes in, the one who didn't do anything. He said, he who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. The master responds, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather what I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. And so the master says to the guy who had one talent who buried it in the ground, he says this, you're going to be thrown out into the outer darkness where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, if this was a message on or a series on hell or purgatory, maybe it's purgatory, we would talk about what happened to that third servant. But since this is a message series on heaven, I want to return to those first two servants and the rewards they are given, because they will be our rewards in heaven. And we're going to work our way backwards. These are the rewards for servants who take their talent and invest it for the master, for God. And so we're going to work our way backwards to those three rewards. The first one we're going to look at is this: enter into the joy of your master. In heaven, we will experience joy. We will experience a party, a celebration. The scriptures over and over again talk about feasting and, again, dancing and singing and a huge feast and celebration that will be in heaven. Second reward is this. He says, you have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. In other words, in heaven, we will have responsibility. We will have work to do. Now, some of you hear that, like, there's going to be work in heaven. You're like, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound all that great. Now, the workaholics, you're all celebrating. Oh, thank God there'll be work in heaven. I was wondering what we were going to do. I wasn't sure I really wanted to go there. You know, people like our pastor who's a, you know, workaholic's like, thank God there's work in heaven. All right. But for all of us, here's what we need to understand. That the work we will have in heaven is that we will reign and rule and have authority in Christ. And the work will be in the ongoing share in the ongoing creativity of God. And it will be work we love to do. We will lose ourselves in that work or that responsibility. You know, there is a saying, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Well, it's a nice sentiment, but it's not true here on earth. I mean, I love my job. I love what I do, but there's plenty of times where it feels like work, where it feels toilsome. But that's not going to be true in heaven. We will have responsibility and work to do that we will enjoy and love that adds to God's ongoing creativity, reigning and ruling with Christ. Now, some of you might pull back here at this moment like, all right, wait a minute. You're saying in heaven there'll be party and celebration and there'll be work. Those two things seem kind of mutually exclusive. And they are here on earth, but in heaven they will not be. That work and play and celebration, that will all go together in heaven. So we will have celebration, we will have work to do, and then in heaven, here's the third reward we receive from this parable. We will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We will receive the affirmation and approval of our Heavenly Father, of our Savior. Now, affirmation and approval, again, we ache for it, we long for it. And so when we receive them here on earth, that's not a bad thing. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be encouraging one another. Scripture says to do that. But when you look at the affirmation and approval we get on this earth, right, it's fleeting. I mean, as a kid, you know, your parents might have delighted you in 1 minute. You know, they might have smiled and patted you on the head and said, good job. You know, an hour later, you could have been in timeout, right? Middle school students, high school students, come on, you know this. You can feel affirmed and approved by some peers 1 minute, but a minute later, it's gone and you feel kind of on the outs. You know, our peers might like us 1 minute, but not the next. You can hear your boss can say, good job, well done, and affirm and approve the work you're doing. But guess what? We know this. The next day, you got to come in and do it all over again. You got to prove your worth, right? Again, the crowd, the roar of the crowd, the cheer of applause from an audience, it's great, but it's only a moment, and it passes. And I used to think of that way about this passage too. I used to think, okay, kind of get into heaven. Hey, God pats you on the back and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's the end of that. But here's the thing about a divine act. It never ends. It echoes into eternity. And see, in heaven, we will forever live in the glory of God's well done. We will hear that for eternity. And I think all the affirmation, approval, you know, we seek on this earth, it is really only a shadow of the approval, the affirmation we desire from our Heavenly Father, the almighty maker of heaven and earth, from Jesus, his Son, who reigns forever. All the earthly affirmation and approval, it pales in comparison to that. Many years ago, this kind of desire was awakened in me when I read something by C.S. Lewis. And, you know, I've been quoting him a lot. And I read this and it kind of cut to my heart, to desire of my heart. And so I want to share these words from C.S. Lewis with you today. And maybe it'll cut to your heart as well. Here's what C.S. Lewis wrote. This is in a book called The Weight of Glory. And The Weight of Glory is really just a sermon in a bunch of other sermons that are in that book. And here's what he writes. The promise of glory is the promise, almost incredible, and only possible by the work of Christ, that some of us, that any of us who really chooses, shall find approval, shall please God. To please God. to be a real ingredient in the divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in as an artist delights in his work, or a father in a son. It seems impossible. A weight or burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain. But so it is. To be loved by God, delighted in by God. Again, not for God just to have mercy on us, but to be pleased with our lives. That's the ache, the longing for God's affirmation and approval. So how do we keep that front and center, that's the real approval we want? Well, I want to encourage you to take two steps this week to help keep that front and center. First one is to have conversations and to answer some questions. So again, throughout the course of the series, we have questions that we're encouraging you to have and to answer with friends, family members. You can, after this experience, have breakfast or lunch, dinner, whatever time of day it is for you. Also, after this experience, we'll have our virtual cafe, so you can join us there. Here are the questions if you want to take a picture with your phone. We'll also show them after this experience. Three questions, but the one I especially want to draw your attention to is this third one. What do you think of hearing those words from God? Well done and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. What emotions does it well up inside you? Second encouragement is this week to live for an audience of one. You know, to live for an audience of one, that we use our talents to please God. And here's a good way for us to remember that. You know, we want to use our talents to please God. And a good way to remember that is this week, I guarantee you, you're either going to be criticized or you're going to feel someone's approval, right? One or the other, or probably both, maybe both in the same hour or the same day, right? And you're going to experience that. And so when that happens, just use that as an opportunity to turn back to God and say, Father, maybe I'm being criticized right now, but I know I really long for your approval and affirmation. Or God, I know I'm being approved right now, and I know I'm feeling the affirmation of approval of others, but God, what I really want to do is I want to take my talents and my abilities, and I want to please you. That Heavenly Father, my desire, my longing is to one day hear those words from you. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this parable. And God, we just pray that we would awaken the longing for us to hear those words from you. That God, we desire your affirmation, your approval. And so this week, God, whenever we are criticized or whenever we are approved, may it be a reminder to us that we want to live our lives for you in a way that's pleasing to you, to take our talents, our abilities, our skills, and offer them back to you as a sign of our worship and our desire to please you. And God, may we live today and every day so that one day we will hear those words from you. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.